salvation is obtained by faith in Christ. Only by faith in Christ. Not by having trusted Christ, but as we just sang, by trusting Christ. There is a huge difference. Most everybody in this part of the country anyway has trusted Christ in some sense of the word. They've had some experience in religion. They've had some experience in faith. But it's a past tense thing. It is not having trusted Christ, but trusting Him. Do you, do I, right now, trust Christ alone? Yesterday doesn't matter. Today, do you trust Him? Do you trust His blood as your only atonement before God? His righteousness as your only righteousness with God? Do you trust Him as Lord and Savior? Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 3. Believers are sinners who trust Christ. Trusting Him, we continue to trust Him to the end. It is written, He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. The prize goes not to those who begin the race, but to those who finish the race, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. My text this evening is Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 19. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, today, it's the only time we have. Yesterday is gone and we have no promise of tomorrow. Therefore, the Holy Spirit calls us now, today, to hear His voice. He urges us not to do what we are naturally inclined to do. He says, harden not your heart. And then He gives us a glaring example. There were thousands, multiplied thousands, who left Egypt with Moses. Saw God's mighty works upon Pharaoh, crossed over the Red Sea, and they provoked God for 40 years in the wilderness in unbelief. Though they had seen His mighty works, though they were led by His faithful servant, though they professed to be His people, yet they knew Him not, and they perished in the wilderness. They perished because they hardened their hearts against God Himself. They would not hear, though God spoke to them by His servant. They would not hear, though God spoke from the fiery mount. They would not hear, though God spoke by wonder after wonder after wonder of miracle, delivering them from enemy after enemy and keeping them safe. They would not hear, though God fed them with manna every day from heaven. Though God healed men by looking to the fiery serpent raised up on a pole, they still would not hear. They would not hear, because they hardened their hearts in unbelief, and therefore they perished in the wilderness. They could not enter into the land of rest. Now hold your hands here in Hebrews 3 and turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll begin reading at verse 6. I want you to see that these things are not accidental. They happened by divine appointment as examples to us, lest we should follow those unbelieving Jews who perished in the wilderness to hell itself. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent. That is, this is the reason. We should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. What evil things? Bread, garlic, leeks. Well, what's evil about that? They lusted after what God hadn't given them. They lusted after that which took their hearts away from God. Verse 7, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Multitudes among the Israelites joined in the worship of Baal and the gods of the false nation, the false gods of the nations around them, and perished in the wilderness. Verse 8, neither let us commit fornication. They gave their daughters or their sons to the daughters of Moab and took the daughters of Moab to their sons and committed fornication. He says, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day because of fornication. 23,000 people. Verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. Tempted him in the wilderness, murmuring against him. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Everything that happened in the Old Testament happened by divine appointment and by divine providence, just as all things do now. But these things are recorded in the Scriptures that happened to Israel deliberately as examples to you and I who believe. Examples to you and I who now profess faith in Jesus Christ. All right, read on. Verse 12. Wherefore, in the light of these things, sit up and pay attention. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You think your faith is strong? Hang on. You think these things can't happen to you? Pay attention. You think you will not also be destroyed of the destroyer? You think you will not also perish by the way? Then set up and pay attention. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, read the next verse in this context. There hath no temptation taken you. What temptation? To idolatry? To fornication? To murmuring against God's providence? There hath no temptation taken you, except that which is common to men. You see it? That which is common to man. But God is faithful. Oh, thank God, God is faithful. If we stand, it'll be not because we're faithful, but because He is. If we endure, it'll not be because of something in us, but because of everything in Him. God is faithful who will not suffer, who will not allow you to be tempted, tried, tested, proved. Above that you're able, but will with the temptation. Now you're going to face the temptation. You're going to have to deal with the temptation. You're going to have to endure everything Israel endured in the wilderness, that and more. You're going to face idolatry every day. You're going to face discontent every day. You're going to face and deal with fornication every day. You're going to face the things of this world that would draw your heart away from Christ every day. But God will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able to bear it. But we're with the temptation. Make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. But what is that way? Christ the Lord. Fix your eyes on Him. Set your heart on Him. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Where Christ sits on the right hand of God, set your affection on Him. All right, read on. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Idolatry? Who's tempted to that? Bobby Estes and Don Fortner. Whatever stands as a rival to Jesus Christ before us is an idol we must destroy. An idol we must put away from us. I speak as to wise men. Judge what I say. All right, now let's turn back to Hebrews 3. I want to talk to you tonight about the most besetting of all sins. I want to talk to you about unbelief. I want us to see that the issue between God and man is always unbelief. The difference between those who perish and those who are saved is unbelief. It was unbelief that caused Israel to perish in the wilderness, and it is unbelief that will drag men down to hell at last. If any of us follow the example they gave, we, like them, shall perish in this wilderness. I'm telling you, no one will ever lift his finger in hell and shake his finger in God's face and say, I'm here because you didn't choose me. I'm damned because you didn't predestinate me to life. I'm lost because of your decree. Oh, no. but rather every sinner in hell will forever stick his finger like a blazing dagger in his own heart. And he will say, I'm here because I hardened my heart and would not hear God. I would not believe. Now in this passage before us this evening, I want you to see three things. First, we're given an example, and then a warning, and finally a lesson. In verses 7 through 11, the Holy Spirit holds a lost nation before us as an example of unbelief. Not an example of irreligion. These were religious folks. Not an example of profligate, gutter people. These were church-going folks. But an example of unbelief. Look at verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation. And I said, they do always err in their heart. That's the problem. In their heart. And they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now, if you care to at your leisure, you can turn back to Psalm 95. This is a direct quote from that Psalm. These Israelites were professed to be God's people. They were the children of Abraham physically. They were the descendants of the patriarchs. They were the descendants of those men who knew and walked with God. And they could point back to their family tree and say, Abraham is our father. Isaac and Jacob are our fathers. We're the sons of Abraham. We walk after the course of Abraham. And yet these Israelites were a nation of rebels, murmurers, unbelievers. They refused to hear the voice of God as he spoke by his servant Moses. Now that's a horrible crime laid against their charge. For that they perished in the wilderness. But how much greater shall the punishment of hell be for those who have refused to hear God speak by his Son? God speaks to us by his Son. He says, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. And yet men refuse to hear. Those Jews who followed Moses out of Egypt rejoiced as they followed him out. I've often sat back and watched them in my mind's eye as they crossed over the Red Sea. They stand here murmuring and complaining, unbelieving, and God opened the sea before them and dried up the shores of the sea, and they walked through dry shod. How they must have rejoiced. And they walked across the other side and looked back and watched as God swept the whole army of Egypt and Pharaoh away in the sea of his wrath. And they clapped their hands and rejoiced and said, man, God's with us. God's with us. Oh, what miracles they experienced. And yet, they hardened their hearts. You see, man's heart is hardened by sin, hardened by nature, hardened with blindness, hardened by the care of this world, the deceitfulness of sin. But there's more than a natural hardness spoken of here. Our text is talking about an acquired, voluntary hardness of heart, a hardness that comes through the deliberate, willful rejection of God's Word. The willful, deliberate rejection of God's counsel, turning our backs upon that which we know God has declared to be right and true. The Scriptures are very plain. Listen to this. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed. And when this destruction comes, there's no remedy. No remedy. You see, there is such a thing as men and women so hardening their hearts against Christ and his gospel, so hardening their hearts and stiffening their necks and raising their backs against God Almighty and his ways, that God says, all right, you can have your way. And you're as good for hell as if you were already there. They shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That doesn't mean that you can find the text I'm referring to in Proverbs 29:1, but this doesn't mean that, you know, God's God's warned and God's spoken and God's pleaded and God's called, and now men have despised His word, and suddenly God's going to send them to hell.
No, no, no. That's not it. That may be included. This is what it means. God's going to leave you to yourself just like that. And there's no possibility of everlasting salvation. There is such a thing as reprobation taught in this book. And reprobation is God dealing with men now in judgment. Judgment that shall last forever. Listen to Matthew 11. No, turn there if you will. Matthew 11 verse 20. Then began the Lord Jesus to upbraid the cities where most of His mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at that day than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be brought down to hell. How come? For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, those Sodomites would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. In stubborn, insulting unbelief, the sons and daughters of Abraham despised the goodness and mercy of the God of Abraham. They tempted God to wrath. They provoked Him to anger. They tried His patience. They trampled under their feet His long-suffering, His goodness, and His mercy by their constant complaints and murmuring and rebellion. Even though they had seen His goodness, His mercy, His power in providing for them and protecting them miraculously for 40 long years. And yet, horrible as their crimes were, how much greater is the guilt of sinners who this day trod under their feet the blood of the Son of God and despised the gospel of His grace, trampling under their feet the blood of Jesus Christ. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 26. If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now what's that talking about? What's that talking about? Sin willfully. Whoever sinned unwillfully? He's not talking about just an act of sin. That's not it. He's not talking about just an act of adultery. He's not talking about just an act of drunkenness. He's not talking about just an act of murder. He's talking about willfully, deliberately, turning your back against God, turning your back on God's word and God's way and God's glory, and saying, I'll have my way. If it means everything, I'll have my way. Sin willfully. So, Pastor, how can you see that in the context? Look at it. If we sin willfully after we've received in our heads the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and the fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law perished, died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore a punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. Not spiritually sanctified, but sanctified in the sense that he was morally uplifted. He's counted it now an unholy thing and hath done despite to the Spirit of grace. For we know him that saith, vengeance belongeth to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Turn to one more text in this context. Proverbs chapter 1. I don't need to pause and explain to this congregation. God Almighty is absolutely sovereign. God has His will. God has His way in all things. And yet at the same time, the Lord God Almighty, by the word of His grace, calls sinners to repentance and faith in Christ and puts the burden of responsibility on the back of men who hear His word and will not believe. Look in Proverbs 1, verse 23. The Lord Jesus Christ, wisdom. He who is the wisdom of God speaks. This is how God speaks to sinners, by His Son. He says in verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make known my words to you. If indeed you turn at his reproof, it's because he's poured out his spirit to you. It's because he's made known his words to you. Verse 24. Because I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Oh, this is what God says? So what? Oh, this is what God says? Who cares? Who cares? Read on. I also will laugh at your calamity. God says, I want to laugh when judgment falls on you. You've laughed at my mercy. I'll laugh while you go to hell. What a word. What a word. I will mock when your fear comes. I'll tell you forever. I told you so. I told you so. You'll hear every word reverberating in your soul to the damnation of your soul forever. When your fear comes as a desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call on me, but I won't answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, what an awesome word. Oh, my God, save you from this. Therefore, may God save me from this. They shall eat of the fruit of their own way. All right, bud, I'll let you have what you want. You can have your will. You can have your way. They shall be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. The prosperities of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, whoso hears my word, whoso believes on me, shall dwell safely and be quiet forever from the fear of evil. Now look at verse 10. God says in Hebrews 3:10, wherefore I was grieved. Oh my, what a word from God. I know he speaks here as a man, but he speaks here as a man to let us know something about himself. I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unbelief, what a horrible, horrible crime. Because of unbelief, men are shut out from heaven. Because of unbelief, men are shut out from mercy. Because of unbelief, many like these Jews finally depart from Christ and walk no more with Him. Unbelief, someone said, is the mother of idolatry. It sets up other gods such as reason, human wisdom, and human philosophy and turns us from Christ. Because we're so naturally inclined to unbelief, we're encouraged to encourage one another in steadfast faith in Christ. Verses 12 and 13, we're to encourage one another and exhort one another constantly, daily, while it's called today, that we may persevere in the faith. Now, the Lord willing, I'll come back to that again next week. But for now, look down at verse 14. Here's a lesson. Only those who persevere in the faith. Nobody pays any attention to this. I know they don't. I don't know whether you'll pay attention or not. I sometimes wonder, Lindsay, if I have paid attention to it. Only those who persevere in the faith. Only those who continue in the gospel. Only those who begin with Christ and walk with Christ and die with Christ. Only they who continue to the end are true believers. Look at verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. If you read this book, He'll find that throughout the New Testament there are numerous examples of temporary faith. Folks saw the Lord's miracle. He turned water into wine, and man, they said, we believe in Him. He took a few loaves and fishes and fed 20,000 people. They said, wow, we want some of that. We believe in Him. But the Scripture tells us that the Lord Jesus did not commit Himself to them because He knew what was in them. Just a temporary faith. In John chapter 6, we read after our Lord proclaimed the glorious gospel of His grace, declaring salvation to be only by eating His flesh and drinking His blood, only by faith in Him, declaring that this faith is the gift of God by which men and women are a faith given to men by the teaching of God by which men and women themselves come to Him, declaring God's everlasting purpose of grace. From that time, many of His disciples heard that and they said, this is a hard saying. And they said, we can go to church down the road. They don't preach like that down there. They thought better about us down there. And they left. And the Lord Jesus said, will you go away too? Paul speaks of Demas. Demas. This weekend, Lord willing, Brother Skip's going to accompany me to the other side of the country to preach the gospel. Because he wants to. Because he wants to. Demas went with Paul everywhere. Everywhere. You fellows drove up Sunday night up to Newcastle. Demas went with Paul everywhere. Until Paul was finally thrown in prison for preaching the gospel of God's grace. And Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Multitudes have temporary faith. God's people have permanent faith. That's the difference. Believers continue in the faith. Saving faith is a God-given faith. And it continues and grows in strength and confidence. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. Four times we have that in the New Testament. The just live by faith. It doesn't mean the just begin to live by faith. No, no. The just live by faith. We live by drawing breath in our lungs, breathing. The just live by faith. We live by eating bread. The just live by faith. We don't live because we breathed yesterday or this morning. We don't live because we had bread to eat yesterday or this morning. We live because we breathe and we eat and we live spiritually by faith in Christ, present tense. Look at this now. But if any man draw back, I don't care what he experienced this morning or yesterday. I don't care if he saw fire fall out of heaven and he was one who had it in his hands. I don't care if he crossed the Red Sea and laughed and sang while Pharaoh drowned in the Red Sea. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Oh, but I thank God for this next word. But we. Who? We who are born of God. We who now continually look to Christ. We who are given faith by God's own hand. We who are called of God. We who are redeemed by the blood of Christ. We are not of them that draw back to perdition, but of them which believe to the saving of the soul. Verse 15, Hebrews 3. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. There's a deliberate, inspired repetition of exactly what is said in verses 7 and 8. It was given for a reason. We need to hear it again. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I've got to have Him. I can't quit till I get Him. I've got to have Him. Now look at verse 16. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was God grieved for 40 years? Why, it was with those who had sinned. Those who sinned not believing God, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom he sware they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. So they could not enter in for one simple reason. They believed not. They believed not. They claimed Abraham for their father, but they didn't have faith of Abraham. Because Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but rather was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. Oh, God, make us fully persuaded that he which had promised, that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore, because he believed God, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not imputed or not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. What? The righteousness of God in Christ. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Our security is Christ. Our hope is Christ. Our Savior is Christ. Our peace is Christ. God, give us eyes for him. Always for him. Ever for him. Alone for him. Amen. All right, Lindsay, you come lead us in the hymn, please.